there are some pretty big sporting events happening in Canada pretty soon, aren't there, Matt?
Yes, indeed. This is actually Grand Prix weekend in Montreal, which is sort of the beginning of the tourist season there. But, you know, the sound of F1 engines revving up is going to be pretty loud, but it's not going to be the only jarring noise in town. Protesters have been banging pots and pans, and it's become something of a regular daily feature of life there in Montreal. And throughout the whole Canadian province of Quebec, the Printemps Érable, the Maple Spring as it's become known, kicked off when students voted to strike, or rather boycott, their classes and stop anyone else from going too. This despite paying the lowest tuition fees in North America. It's been the longest period of student protests in Quebec's history, but the protests have been marked by violent confrontations between students and police, and between non-striking students complaining about having their classes disrupted or even being intimidated by the protesters. The government hit back with a controversial law called Law 78 in order to curb the protests, but in a way that just provoked them. It brought the Quebecers back out onto the streets in droves, incensed by what they saw as an attack on their freedoms. Sean Griffiths joined student Gonzo Nieto for a weekend of protests.
In Molson Park in Montreal's East End, Gonzo Nieto and thousands of others chant demos every night until victory. The crowd is a sea of umbrellas, Quebec flags, and red squares. They come from the French term carrément dans le rouge, or squarely in the red, referring to growing student debt. If red squares are the emblems of the protest, then the Tintamarre de Casserole, the beating of pots and pans, is its soundtrack. These protesters ended up here after weaving their way through the heart of Montreal's Plateau District. The demo was declared in breach of the newly passed Law 78, which requires protesters to give police 8 hours' notice and an itinerary of their route. A recent city bylaw also makes it illegal for protesters to wear masks. Despite the threat of arrest, fines as high as $125,000 Canadian, and a downpour of rain, thousands beat furiously on their pots and pans, or raise the volume any which way they can. Gonzo and thousands of other students went on strike in February in protest at provincial government proposals to raise tuition fees, even though they had been frozen for years. Although the cost of getting a post-secondary education in Quebec would rise by 75% over 5 years, Quebec tuition fees would still remain among the lowest in North America. But Gonzo argues that it's not just a question of economics.
Individuals that have an undergraduate degree from university, compared to individuals that don't, commit crime less, access healthcare services less, are more likely to be politically involved in their communities, will pay higher taxes because they're going to be earning more money as well.
If this sounds reminiscent of the Occupy movement, it's because he was at the heart of that too.
I think that that's one of the functions that the Occupy served for our generation, was to say, no, we're not. We're not apathetic. We're not apolitical. We are here and we are mobilized, and there's a lot of us. Because the Occupy movement at its root signified a sort of like anti-capitalist protest, and that is exactly along the lines of what we're talking about that this movement is turning into. And what you end up talking about is like capitalism, the world financial crisis, and austerity.
And this message appears to be resonating with some of the people in Molson Park, like teacher Nicolas Paradis.
The Liberal government of Quebec is very corrupt. Everybody knows it. The Liberal government is in the middle of selling our natural resources at knockdown prices or just giving them away. We can't expect our youth to pay more at university when we simply give away our gas on the South Shore to the Americans and the north of Quebec to the Chinese. When they say Canada has no money, that's not true.
In mid-May, the government lost patience with the protesters after demonstrations were marred by clashes between protesters and police, while non-striking students continued to be prevented from attending classes by protesters. After Law 78 was introduced, there was a crackdown on protesters, something 29-year-old nurse Christine Gallivotti experienced firsthand.
I was very polite to the officer, and he was advancing and pushing me. There was many of them around. And I said to him, sir, you know, I'm against Law 78, and I consider I have the right to peacefully protest here. And he hit me, started hitting me with his baton.
Where did he hit you?
On my arms, on my legs. Not really sure if I was hit in the face, but on my body, I think, mostly. And I had a sign with me that said, I have the right to protest. And he ripped that sign out of my hands and broke it in half and threw it. He threatened to jail me. At any point in time, I was never violent with him, never verbally aggressive. And then he started beating me, and I said, as a last sort of resort, to sound a bit strange, but I said to him, sir, I know you have peace in your heart, and then he pepper sprayed me in the face.
The government says the law was necessary to restore order in a situation which threatened to spiral out of control and to stop more people from getting hurt. But Gonzo isn't convinced and blames any violence on the authorities.
There is an instant sense of intimidation when police show up. They had like a huge helmet on, a massive shield, very, very bulky uniforms. They have grenades. And this is in no means a justification of violence on the side of students, but you need to, you know, consider the sociological effects of sending riot police out that are shooting weapons at people. Of course you're intimidating people, you're pissing people off, and yeah, some people when they get pissed off, they're going to throw a rock.
The next night, I go to Girouard Park in Notre-Dame-de-Grâce, or NDG, a neighborhood in Montreal's West End. By now, all the locals know this is where the local manif will take place every night at 8 p.m. While waiting for the casserole to gather, I meet a pensioner walking his dogs. He has no sympathy for the protesters.
I noticed a lot of students don't want to work, and they want everything. So I figured I came from a poor family and I worked for everything. I didn't get a good education, but I learned as long as you work hard, you can always make a living. It paid off for me. And then the pots and pans, if I have to keep paying taxes because students want something without trying to work for it, then I got to pay higher taxes. And then I imagine there's a lot of old people like me. Why shouldn't we get more money now so we can afford to pay our taxes?
Fresh arrivals are greeted by a rapturous beating of metal, but there are just a couple of dozen people tonight, not the regular turnout of over 100 this neighborhood has seen in the last week. There's not a police cruiser in sight. Gonzo says the numbers are low, well, because it's Sunday evening and a flash flood has been forecast, he says, but he was hoping for over 50 protesters.
You're also in direct defiance and civil disobedience of Law 78 at that point, because according to Law 78, you're an illegal protest by being more than 50 and not having given the route 8 hours ahead of time. So that's partially the purpose of these protests.
With too few to flout the law and take over the streets, Gonzo and his fellow protesters retreat and peacefully head home. Although Jean Charest's government is in power, the students and their supporters have shown that they have power, but for just how long remains to be seen. Shan Griffiths for Deutsche Welle in Montreal.